Well, good morning. I appreciate everybody's prompt attendance, and you all look bright and shiny, or at least present. We're going to do the following today, just to give you an overview. First, we're going to spend a little time talking about the Alzheimer's measures, dementia measures, and lack thereof, and an approach to helping rectify that situation. Secondly, we're going to do a couple of measures left over from Group 4. Then I'll be passing the baton to Tricia, who will do the Group 3 measures. We're hoping to leave some time at the end to talk about the gap analysis, looking at our original framework, and seeing if there are areas that we really need to have on that parking lot, and hopefully get you out of here early, or certainly on time. So let's first turn to a discussion about how we might deal with the lack of dementia Alzheimer measures, and I'll ask Ian to give us some thoughts.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and thank you very much for a productive day. Productive day yesterday. I know.
Katie, is that you on the line?
Yes, I'm that rocket. It's me.
Okay. We thought you were making a lot of disturbance.
All right.
They'll be quiet in a minute.
Okay. Good morning, Katie. We're actually just getting ready to talk about the dementia issue as well as Alzheimer's. So a couple members of the steering committee identified early on that we really didn't receive any measures within the actual submission for dementia measures. And I know that was a key part of the scope of the project. And a couple members identified if there was, you know, there are some potential measures out there and would like to really look at forming potentially a small work group to see if we can solicit some dementia measures and really see if we can move those forward. There is a little bit of gap after this process where if we get measures in quickly, we will be able to kind of run through that process. I've talked with Katie as well as Joel briefly and Robert just about potentially forming a small work group. The members of that work group would really try to solicit those measures, review them internally just as a small work group, and then put that information forward for the rest of the steering committee to review and decide upon. I guess another option is if we aren't really, once again, able to get any dementia measures in, this small work group would, I think, hopefully better inform us of, you know, what are the gaps out there, where are there measures, and what can we really do in terms of moving forward. But this being a key portion with the project, as well as I know we have our National Priorities Partnership that is really categorizing Medicaid's top 20 conditions. Alzheimer's is right up there, I think, at number 6 at this point. So it's a key issue, and we just wanted to really open it up to the steering committee to look and see if there are individuals here who are interested in really participating on a small work group who would try to solicit those measures and work forward from there. Katie, I don't know if you have anything else to add, or Joel, or Robert, I know.
The only thing I would say, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Errol? Two questions. One is, are we limiting this to dementia or to measures that are particularly applicable to older people? So that's one question. And, you know, I know there are some out there that people have not submitted, like the RANDS-ACOG measures. But there are also measures that may be particularly applicable, primarily to the over 65 group. The other thing is, you know, when you look across what we actually have and what we're ultimately going to recommend, I mean, Alzheimer's is one example, but it's really across the board that we didn't get much in. And so one thought is, should we think about some sort of second phase of encouragement across the board to try to identify measures or potential measure developers that haven't considered submitting? Because you know, several people have come to me and said, "Gee, you know, we have no idea about this stuff," and so that those are, and it's just that people just are not part of the network of NQF typically. And even though we try to reach out, it's there's a lot of people that just don't.
Briefly, you want to take a shot at that?
Couple of things. NQF is moving into a slightly different way of bringing measures in. We're sort of on a rotating, I think it's a three-year schedule, addressing sort of all the variety of topic areas and rotating through them for the opportunity to review existing measures, bring in new measures, and sort of, you know, look at the portfolio as a whole. So we envision going forward that there will be regular opportunities for all of the areas on about an every three-year cycle.
What it will be is, so all the measures that you actually put forward today, I think, is a good example. Those go into a three-year maintenance cycle. And what has happened in the past is we'd do one-off kind of projects, and then you'd have everything that's in maintenance, and there was no way to begin to determine what was best in class, determine what where the gaps were, and for people to know in the development cycle where we would be in needing and doing a call for measure on a certain topic. So this new process, assuming the board approves it, it's out for comment right now, we'll start getting everything into a cycle. So these measures will go into a cycle probably on mental health, and every 3 years we will do a review of every existing measure and a call for new measures. So it's starting to look up and see where either geriatrics or mental health would fall to see if we could see when the next call will be. So I think if we can get something in now, that's great. But I think the other piece is we want to start building out that portfolio. I think the gaps you identified, too, will also help inform developers so that as we have these cycles move forward, hopefully we'll get more robust measures on those areas you have identified. That's our hope.
Even it's possible to do it even during this round, to because it just seems dementia is important, but there's nothing I don't think we're going to do for kids, for schizophrenia. For bipolar disorder, I mean, there's, which are all big
anxiety.
Yeah, anxiety. So there are all lots of big areas that we don't have anything. So if it's possible to actually do a kind of additional search, that'd be good. For example, I mean, actually just the other day at the translational science meetings, Len Bickman from Vanderbilt said, we got in a conversation. I told him I was going to this meeting. He said, oh, we've had a measure that's been adopted by 16 states, for kids. I didn't know anything about it.
Was the focus deliberately, because of the CMS sponsorship, on the adult population?
Remember that part of the Outcomes Project, we actually have a separate effort on child health. So anytime you divide topics into areas, it's arbitrary. But child health is being addressed, just not by this group as much as...
Do they have mental health measures?
They can have mental health measures.
Is the question.
But
No.
No, that's right.
Yeah, so, Lynn actually has a whole big system. He actually emailed me about it.
Do they still have an opportunity to submit, or is the period closed?
We're getting tightened on time.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we'd have to figure out. Ian probably goes fast.
The reason we had really started looking at dementia early on is because we'd identified that really up front right away, because we didn't have anything. We had some measures, but we hadn't really vetted them and voted on as a steering committee. So we started looking early on and talking.
I'm not criticizing the measure. I'm simply saying that, when you look at what's actually going to be the output of this, it's going to be lacking for dementia, it's going to be lacking for kids, it's going to be lacking for schizophrenia, it's going to be lacking for bipolar, for anxiety.
So maybe one of the things we can do as we get to the gap analysis is make sure we highlight those areas, including potential contributors that we know of. I think given the lengthy and sort of stylized process that NQF follows, we've got maybe a month of leeway. I think we'll be fortunate if we can get some of the dementia, Alzheimer's measures in and still meet the sort of timeline that NQF is on. That's unfortunate because I agree with you, Harold. I think there's really huge gaps in what we're considering. On the other hand, given the process, I think we're going to have to say, okay, in a year or two, there'll be another call, and to do a better job, perhaps, at getting some of the measured developers out there. From an overall policy standpoint, I think NQF really needs to continue to look at how they interact with both the policy community, especially societies, but also the research community, which also generally develops many of these measures, but really isn't keyed into this whole process and certainly isn't used to submitting in this process.
Yeah, I guess I just would like to follow up on that comment, and that would be one thing hopefully the steering committee could help further inform NQF. I know for this project we reached out to, I believe it was 117 different developers who NQF has been in contact with, or developers which yourself, the steering committee, put forward to us to reach out to. So continuing to build that list, I think, is something where NQF has some area to expand. And if there are people who we need to be working with, specifically within the mental health field, then it would be wonderful if you guys would be willing to provide that information for us to move forward. So,
just like to be clear, Jeff, on what you said, that is there a window now of a month or two or not for other people who want to submit general measures?
Yeah.
No window, because it sounded ambiguous.
They're really... The window of opportunity, I think...
There's no right answer.
Correct. Yeah, just looking at the timeline of the project and where we started looking for dementia measures, we did it earlier on, and so that window potentially exists because we've already been talking with people. trying to then reach out and look at other measures specifically targeting a broader sector of the mental health field, I really unfortunately probably won't fit within this project. Or let me be clear, won't fit.
What should I tell Lynn Dickman?
Too late. Keep looking. We'll get in touch with you the next time this comes around, I think, is, you know, the real answer. It may not be.
And I guess maybe that should be, we should get in touch with them now just so we can follow up and make sure that Lynn Dickman is really within our contacts. We make that initial upfront meeting. And so next time, as Heidi indicated, in 3 years or 2 years when it comes around, that we actually have that contact and can move forward. So.
We should get something in the literature someplace about the NQF process, something more, to make more people aware of how this is going on, the context of this measure development. I mean, I don't hope it's not a narcissistic injury to you to hear that, but there's a lot of people, like Harold says, who are somehow orthogonal to this, and we need to get something into a different kind of literature that sort of briefly makes people aware of the process, the background, where we're going, why the importance of it is.
Also, just the term measure developers is like off-putting. There's people, I don't think anybody that I know that's not measure.
I think in the Consensus Standard Approval Committee actually had a really nice discussion that I think you all saw the first examples of what they were talking about, which is those measures that haven't necessarily been publicly reported, used for accountability, but used for quality improvement in one system, how do we then encourage and find ways for them to get it to that next step, get the risk adjusted, get the testing, get it so that it's specified so that others can use it? And we're struggling with that, but I think that's the next piece that they'll be, you know, tackling and considering. How do we then continue to get more robust measures that really have a good quality improvement focus, but have moved to the point of accountability and public reporting?
Well, it seems like, being somewhat familiar with the NQF and its process, that there's two areas that definitely bear improvement. One is sort of a technical assistance function, where you can really reach out to people who have developed the system-level measures and can say, okay, well, these are great for where they are, but here's the next step. And the other is sort of a marketing function, but not the typical marketing function. It's marketing to a research audience primarily, enhancing their understanding of what this process is all about, and that, no, you know, to be a measure developer doesn't mean that you've gotten a PhD from Hopkins around some esoteric skill, but it's the stuff you're already doing, but take it a step further.
I
guess some of yesterday's conversation really opened my eyes to some of the ways that NQF is looking at measures, because, and I think to sort of segue from what you're just saying, some of what we looked at yesterday are things that for a program or a facility or for an agency could be really good ways for them to look internally at their own performance and strengthen the quality and effectiveness of what they're doing. And I think it is in that spirit in which some of those were submitted, because folks have done a lot of work to move toward a more rigorous way of looking at the quality and effectiveness of what they're doing. But they haven't yet taken it to that next step of being something that could be widely implemented and used for public accountability. And it almost, as I left last night, I was sort of thinking it's almost as if we would need a framework that would have two levels at which there would be some recognition that these are tools that are good to use to strengthen quality. One is tools that might be really good, measures that would be appropriate for agencies or programs to use, but they're not at the public accountability level, but they certainly improve the quality of practice.
So internal tools as opposed to
external accountability tools. And I know that it sounds like that's not the charge to this group, but it sounds like there is an enormous hunger and need in the field for both sets of tools.
Reva, you want to?
Yeah, just this is by no means a new discussion point in NQF's 10 years of existence, but frankly, over the last few years, the board has pretty much settled on NQF's role in the quality enterprise to be around focusing on the public reporting side of it and not on the quality improvement, recognizing that there are thousands of potential measures that individual programs or facilities or agencies might use internally for their own purposes, and please have at it and do so, but that NQF's role is more focused in on the measures that are of a caliber suitable for public reporting, making comparisons, and that level, and that is the focus they've chosen.
So let me go back to our original question, which is, are there volunteers for the group working on dementia? Okay, so we got Maureen, Bob, Rich, Dan, Joel. You want to get those names? Keep your hands up so make sure we get them all. It sounds like a nice group, and we'll try to turn this around fairly quickly. You got those, Dan? Okay.
Yeah, I got all of them.
Can I ask for a point of clarification in regard to the dementia? Are we talking geriatric dementia or just dementia in general? I can't remember if it was clarified.
The way we scoped it out was around mental health, two of the topics that were specified came from the list from Medicare, all right, and that's Alzheimer's and depression. All right. We broadened it, realizing that that was a very narrow approach, and so we broadened it to not be inclusive of age per se, but depression and other serious mental illnesses. That was part of the call, so that's inclusive. And then Alzheimer's and, you know, related dementia kind of thing. So geriatrics is sort of a large part of it, but it's not exclusively that.
I think in general, if we pay attention to principles of dementia care and do it well, it will apply across the lifespan to people with traumatic brain injuries at young ages, because we're going to be seeing more of those in our health system. And I think having age cutoffs has been really problematic for the field of geriatrics. You know, we see 55-year-olds who need interdisciplinary geriatric approaches to care, and 90-year-olds who don't. So I think if we just do dementia care well, that will take care of everyone.
And I might add that it might even be a little bit confusing to have Alzheimer's in the descriptor, because there are many other potential causes of dementia that we may want to use the same measures for.
So I'm hearing a general consensus that this is dementia broadly. Certainly given the paucity of measures we've gotten in our general call, I'll be surprised if you all are overwhelmed with measures, but I think casting that as broad as possible. Dan?
Just like that, punctuate what Joel said, and
that DSM-5 is coming out with a new classification of dementia disorders, which is hopefully finally putting to rest the age distinction about dementia onset, and also will broaden the focus away from just Alzheimer's and other dementias to be more, to try to achieve more equipoise in dealing with other dementia syndromes. So I think the field is moving in that direction, so I think to embrace it accordingly would be appropriate.
Thanks. Okay, so I think we have a plan, and I thank the work group for willing to pitch in on yet another task. So we are going to move forward, and because the group that submitted the next measure on our list is on the West Coast, we're going to actually go to measure 16, retention and treatment. Is that right, Ian?
Correct.
So if you'd like to turn to 16, retention and treatment, I'll have Ian read the description, and we'll get going.
All right, I'll give people just a bit to... Fine.
So you don't have to listen to the announcement.
Thank you very much, Katie. We really appreciate your willingness to help and phoning in.
She's going to stay. Hello?
Is anyone else on the phone?
Yes.
This is Zach Thompson. I'm on the phone. Finally able to join you guys.
All right, wonderful.
Anyone else on the phone?
Laura Galbraith from the National Council.
National Council
of
what?
Community Mental Health Centers?
Yeah.
Thank you. So you can hear us on the phone, okay?
Wonderful. Especially
thank
now
you.
That the announcements are gone.
Yeah, well, your flight to Newark has been delayed, but...
All right, do we have anyone from WPIC on the phone? I know this is... the group that we're reviewing right now.
Yes.
And who do we have on the phone?
Can you introduce yourself from WPIC?
Is anybody on the phone still?
I heard yes, and then I heard it.
Yeah.
Still on the phone here. I don't know. Okay. And I used to be from WPIC. I don't know if that counts.
Well, you could represent them. Yeah.
No, I don't think they'd like that.
Yeah.
Anybody currently from WPIC on the phone? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can. Can you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name's David White.
Okay, David, thank you very much for joining us. We have a fairly stylized, rigorous process that we go through here, but at various times we may ask for your input and certainly... if there are points of clarification, we invite your participation. So thank you for phoning in today. Ian?
All right, wonderful. So we're starting off on measure number 16. The title is Retention and Treatment. Just going briefly over the description of this measure, reads as follows. Percent of patients who complete minimum of 3 additional ambulatory sessions within 90 of intake assessments overall patients who complete an intake assessment. An ambulatory session includes any session with a doctor, clinician, or medication management appointment. The numerator statement reads as follows. Total number of patients who receive at least 3 additional sessions within 90 days of intake assessment. Denominator statement reads as total number of patients that completed an intake assessment in the ambulatory clinic. And this was, once again, work group 4.
Okay.
Is there a specific definition of what an intake assessment is? Is there a specific definition of what an intake assessment is or how it's characterized in a routine way?
I don't remember reading a specific description of the assessment.
Should we ask it? Yeah, we can ask.
For our measure developer, was there a way you defined intake assessment?
That's the standard intake assessment that's completed. It's a standardized form that is done on everybody that comes in at intake.
Harold, do you have any other questions?
Well, I guess the question I have is, you know, if one were to expand it beyond a particular clinic that has a specific intake process, how would it be generalized? Because typically when, you know, like, and obviously I'm thinking about the Washington Circle measures, where there's a, you know, a specific way in which they define the sort of initial, the initial assessment with a sort of a window of absence of service use.
Do you have any further clarification from our measure developer?
David?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that question?
Is there any further clarification given Dr. Pincus's comments? Okay. So one of the first questions, if we go back to our process, is in scope, out of scope. This, I think, is one of those measures where people, depending on your willingness to accept a causal pathway, is retention and treatment a process, or is it an outcome? I won't poison that well, but am interested in the group's opinion. How about from Sheila, Luke, those of you who had an opportunity to review this?
I would vote that it is indeed an outcome measure.
I feel like it's an intermediate outcome.
I would actually agree with that. I mean, particularly for substance use, there's a fairly good body of evidence that retention and treatment is associated with better outcomes from, you know, sort of clinical trial studies. However, it's also worth noting that attempts to validate some of the Washington Circle measures have not been totally successful.
Other comments from the group as a whole? So I'm seeing a lot of head nodding.
And I would add that I often think of engagement with substance abusers as an outcome unto itself, that, you know, keeping them engaged is, again, as Harold says, so highly correlated with other good outcomes that they become almost indistinguishable.
So I'm not...
That's retention and treatment we're talking about as a generic comment, not specifying 3 visits, 8 visits, 3 months, 6 months. We're just saying... If you're retained in treatment, you're more likely to have a response than if you are not. So, I mean, it's a little hard to argue with that.
But I would say that my comments are specific to substance use because I think there's a lot less evidence for other mental disorders.
Okay, I'm seeing general agreement that we at least go through the process. I don't hear anybody strongly arguing for out of scope. So let's turn to importance. Remember, this is importance of the concept in general and not necessarily the measure in particular. Sheila, would you like to comment maybe on the importance elements?
Well, again, I mean, I see the retention piece as an intermediate outcome. I think that it's clearly an important area to capture. As you know, Harold was echoing, the disorder that you look at might be different. So rather than getting into the details of the tool or defining what retention is, the concept I felt like was important and something that we needed to measure. So there's clearly a gap there. I start to struggle when you look at what's the right follow-up and does the 3 apply across the board and where what that evidence is based on. And clearly it's a measure that needs quite a bit of testing if it's grossly applied.
Luke, any other thoughts about importance?
I think this is definitely important. I would agree with Dr. Pincus that when I was reading it, I was thinking more about substance use care. I'll just end.
Eric, are you on? No.
Or Ken.
Ken?
No other comments on what people have been saying.
Okay, thank you.
No, I do feel compelled to make one other comment about this, which is I'm on the part of the spectrum of seeing this. I know it's an intermediate outcome, but low, low intermediate. That's part of my bias, which is there's lots of people who are retained in treatment who are getting lousy treatment, and they stay with their providers for all kinds of reasons. They have huge practices. They're not providing evidence-based treatment. Just the fact that they're retained in somebody's practice is a problem in our field. And if we too quickly slide into accepting or acknowledging, you know, the importance of being retained in treatment and lose any focus on evidence-based care and what is the outcome of this, I think we're making a mistake. So it's hard for me to argue against including this in some way in the discussion. But, on this spectrum that, you know, Jeff always talks about, I'm really feeling myself at one end of that spectrum, but just feel compelled to say something about that.
Yeah, I completely agree that, you know, looking generically, it's you know, there are big problems. For substance use specifically, there's, you know, it's a different issue. But, you know, we recently published a study, you know, looking at, you know, people who were in treatment for depression. And I think I mentioned this yesterday, that, you know, if you look at it, that's the highest, that's the best way of finding people who are currently depressed.
Yeah. Okay. Reva.
As a matter of clarification, reading the submission, the denominator statement is, you know, total number of patients that completed an intake assessment in the ambulatory clinic. Is there a definition around what population that applies to? I mean, this could be heart failure patients or, the definition seems somewhat ambiguous. Can it be clarified a little bit more precisely as to what patients this is particularly applied to?
Yeah, actually, because this was located with substance use stuff, I assumed, actually, that it was a substance use measure. But
Measure developer, do you want to clarify what populations, what clinics, what settings? So I think at least in one point it says care settings, ambulatory care, hospital outpatient, behavioral health, psychiatric unit. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So let's turn back then to importance. Are we ready to vote? Any other comments?
And Ken Thompson, you know,
okay. Thank you, Sheila.
One other thing that I thought about when I look at this is from a patient safety aspect as well, in terms of the three follow-up visits for particularly from drug therapy monitoring, and that's indicated from more than just substance abuse treatment, but that would be indicated for depression for adults or for kids.
So we will get to harmonization issues a little down the line, but thank you, Maureen, for calling that. Any other comments about importance? I've heard a nice discussion. Okay, completely. Partially.
One, two, three, four,
I'm gonna get this.
Eight,
I was late.
Ten.
Ten? Yep, I think, yep.
Okay, minimally.
What's our
Ken, are you voting? Ken, are you still there? Okay.
I'm minimal.
Okay, minimal. Thank you. We'll try to remember to call you out. And none, not at all.
Katie, are you still there?
Okay, any members of the committee other than Ken on the phone? Okay, thank you. And then not at all? Okay. So we got the right count? Okay, let's move on then. The next is scientific acceptability. And you can see the comments up there. I was fairly well struck that there wasn't much scientific measurement, psychometrics, risk adjustment. Almost any area you looked at, there was not data presented.
The measure is based on expert opinion, and as I was reading it, I thought about the Washington Circle. I thought about NCQA measures that have been tested.
For our measure developer, has there been further work done on the psychometrics, things like risk adjustment, validity, reliability testing?
Not. We would have the ability to do the risk adjustment, but we haven't done much in the way of formal testing. It's a metric that we've developed and used, and at the point at which to go deeper into those areas. So right now, I'd just say that we would be able to do the risk adjustment aspect of it, but we don't have anything published in those other with respect to the other components.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I think like many of the measure submitters that we've worked with, I think for quality improvement and ongoing work within a system, many times attention to the psychometrics and so on are not a prime priority. But, of course, as we're considering accountability, that becomes much more of a importance. Other comments about the scientific acceptability? If not, let's go ahead and vote completely, partially, minimally.
Is it two?
Two.
And not at all. Ken, do you have a vote? Ken, are you on mute? Ken, do you have a vote on scientific acceptability?
Not at all.
Thank you.
Did that put at 14, Reva?
Yes, that's what I got.
Okay, let's turn then to the next category of usability. And this is where your comments, Marie, I think around harmonization and others would come in. Sheila, thoughts about usability? Luke? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, the developer said that they did have information, and maybe he could talk a little bit more about that. But the performance data that he did have was withheld. And he said that he's willing to share the data with national groups, but we really didn't see anything.
So we're now measure developer at the usability, and it was noted that you did have some data. I wonder if you might be able to summarize that for the committee.
The information that we have has been ongoing probably for about the past 18 months, and it's basic basic figures in terms of the percentage meeting the criteria on the definition
Any other questions for the measure developer? Thank you. Okay. Comments further about harmonization?
Just a question for the developer. In your facilities, do you use any of the NCQA measures or the Washington Circle measures as well as these measures that you use, that you're presenting here?
So in looking toward the future, it would be kind of interesting to see what the performance against things like Washington Circle might be, what the pros and cons of this measure versus existing measures. I think it would help us as a committee better understand the role of this particular measure, the value added, if you will, of this measure. Well, let's move then to voting, unless anybody has further comments. Seeing none completely, partially, minimally, not at all. Ken?
Minimally.
Thank you. Okay, let's then get to feasibility.
I didn't see any specificity around the electronic health record or claims data sources.
So certainly one could imagine through an EHR being able to count visits without a lot of burden. Do you want to have a few comments on feasibility, which includes the burden of collecting the measure, whether this is integrated into an electronic record, any exclusion criteria, inaccuracies that might arise in data collection?
The only exclusion criteria we apply to this measure are emergency room visits and intensive case management visits. We consider all outpatient services with the exception of emergency room and intensive case management for this measure. The data, as far as electronic health records is concerned, is readily available to us because of our integrated outpatient system and inpatient system, so we have that accessible. One of the things that will not be available is any outpatient services or any other services the patient would be getting that is not within
the
system.
Thank you.
Jeff, I'm sorry, the individual who just last spoke from the manager developer, would you mind just stating your name?
My name is Kalyani Gopalan. I'm an analyst at Western Psych.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Sheila, did you have a comment or?
With the exception of that particular issue, I mean, it's the data is probably feasible to get and generate it as a byproduct of care. There's not a heavy burden. So as long as you have the electronic source.
And I think the inaccuracy would be, at least in this setting, where visits are occurring outside one system. Clearly, from a insurer-payer perspective, that data might be well available.
Although, if we're talking about retention and treatment, I think potentially random visits somewhere else don't necessarily have anything to do with this outcome.
Exactly. Good point. Other comments?
You know, even now, you know, the feasibility in a lot of systems, you have a psychiatrist in one system, a therapist in another system. Not that rare to happen. It's kind of hard to track I mean, we know there's problems in communication between them, let alone tracking how many visits have taken place. I mean, it's embarrassing to say that about our healthcare system, but I see that a lot.
Certainly carve-outs are very common still, at least in my community. Okay, let's then vote, unless there are any other questions about feasibility, completely, partially. Minimally.
So.
Not at all. And Ken. Ken, are you not at all? Thank you. Okay, before we vote, any further comments from the public?
No.
Thank you.
Any public comments from the phone?
I don't think so.
Oh, no, somebody from the community mental health centers was on.
Okay, then we're going to go ahead and vote. All those in favor of recommending adoption of this measure, please raise your hand. All those opposed, same sign. And Ken, are you opposed or in favor?
I raised my hand for the second question.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, we saw
my that. Vision is that extend that far.
Were there any
abstentions? Yeah. Okay, so this came out 16 against 0-4. For our measure developers, I think there's certainly very important work to be done in this area, but certainly further work to take this from a performance improvement to accountability measure, and we hope you'll continue this excellent work as you go forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so let us turn to our next measure, and let me confer for a moment with Ian and see if we're ready to get Seattle on the line.
Yeah, I know. I had spoken earlier, and he was hoping to be on the line. He thought he might be driving in, but it doesn't seem like he's able to join us right now. So if we could just hold off at this point, it would be best.
So
it sounds like we're going to do work group three. Is that right?
So we can move to work group three and then go back when the measure developer comes on the line? Okay.
So I'm going to hand off to Tricia.
Okay. So work group three, the measures are 5, 21, 8, 9, and 47. So we're going to start with 5. And the people who were in this work group... Let's see. Who is in this work group? Who was in work group three?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're all clustered. Yes, okay. So, Ian is going to take us through the first one? Or are we doing some...
Ian, yes. Yeah. Can you just hold on 1 second? We're trying to juggle things. We changed the schedule a little bit yesterday, so we're trying to deal with major developers trying to get online. Do we still have the people from Presby Shadyside on the phone?
Presby Shadyside, are you still there?
Were those the last people?
David Albert's still here.
Yeah, we're here from Western Site.
Okay.
All right, so we're just going to try to juggle things a little bit. Initially, within work group three, we had measure number five going first. However, that was submitted by Rand from California. And with the change in schedule, I just want to give them a little bit of time because it's still very early for them there. So we'll wait and see if Carol gets back to me. So if we could move down to measure number eight, which was also submitted by Presby Shadyside, the title of the measure...
Full rate per 1,000 patient days.
Correct. So I'll wait till people can bring that up. So going forward from here, we're looking at measure number eight, fall rate per 1,000 patient days. Description reads as follows. All documented falls with or without injury experienced by patients on an eligible behavior, health, or psychiatric inpatient unit. Numerator statement reads as, the total number of falls that all patients admitted to a hospital-based inpatient psychiatric setting experience. Denominator statement, number of psychiatric inpatient days included populations, all psychiatric inpatient days. And that was, once again, work group number three.
Did anyone want to... comment about this? I think in general, the measure developer pointed out with this that fall rates were particularly an issue in not just all stays, but in particular for inpatient psychiatric stays.
Does NQF have a fall measure for other disciplines? Certainly falls are an issue throughout the hospital. Is that already an established measure somewhere? Could you comment?
Yeah, NQF has fall measures for the hospital, and it is addresses different units. And I'd have to check to see if there was any specific mention of behavioral health units to see if it were at all.
According to the information that we received, it was not specified as one of the areas in which the data was collected.
Was it under the nurse sensitive measures?
Yes, definitely.
Just as a general question, when you say that you want to apply an already existing measure to a specific subpopulation or segment, does that require a whole new approval process or as a separate measure? Because, I mean, in many ways, one of the things that actually is related to the paper I sent around, a lot of it is applying... already existing measures to segmented denominators. And so what's the rule?
I don't know that we could say that there's so much a rule, but what you're talking about is perhaps whether we're talking about specifying the measure, revising those specs to include a broader denominator, at which point the owner developer would have to, you know, agree that that's a good thing to do. The other would be whether you're talking about it in implementation, and for a measure that whose specifications are not maybe overly specific or exclude things, an implementer may choose to apply them to a specific population. Things are a little less, you know, crisp on that, and some people might consider that an off-label use, if you will, or something like that. But especially if the underlying specifications are not overly specified to exclude, because I think a lot of times if measures that people think of hospitals don't automatically include or exclude behavioral health. It sort of depends on your perspective and plans for the measure.
Right, but if I'm running a psychiatric hospital and, you know, I'm looking at falls, I mean, you know, the most relevant benchmark would be other psychiatric hospitals or units of general hospitals. So that, you know, so if there was some way, you know, thinking about it from a national point of view, that there was a sort of a segmentation that would allow me to have a reasonable comparison.
But there is no national database where you could get a benchmark. NDNQI, which are the nursing indicators, typically it's difficult for a psychiatric hospital to get those numbers from anybody else.
So did that argue that it should be a separate measure, or that the because I understand that when you do recommend measures, you could specify certain aspects of segmentation in the measure specifications.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Rita is from the American Nurses Association, who has the fall rate measure we're talking about. So maybe she'd like to speak to it.
Yeah. And Anne also has in comment.
I'll let Rita go first.
Okay.
The American Nurses Association is the owner of the National Database for Nursing Quality Indicators, NDNQI, which was previously referenced. We are willing to open the unit categories to include psychiatric units, if that would be the pleasure of the group. Psychiatric hospitals, of course, could engage in NDNQI should they so wish, and that's where the benchmark would come from. We have currently submitted the falls and the falls with injury measures for consideration under the nursing home project. So we are willing and able to open it up to psychiatric hospitals should that be the wish of the group.
Just one more question. Would you be willing to have the measure specifications also include the possibility, I don't know how you'd frame it, but the possibility of segmenting it based upon it being a psychiatric hospital or a psychiatric unit?
So yes. Stratifying.
Yes.
Yes, stratifying.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The measure currently is stratified by hospital unit, so it could, and it's by type of hospital, so it could be a psychiatric unit in a psychiatric hospital or a psychiatric unit in one of the other kinds of hospitals that are already.
And are we only talking about psychiatric, or are we also talking about substance abuse units?
That would be it's a pleasure of the group.
Double stratification. And the unit.
The unit would be.
Anne is next.
Right. Yes. Thank you. My comment was that, I mean, I understand the need for stratification, but if you had a separate measure for each thing, would you have another one? You know, I think stratification within one that already exists makes more sense than adding separate ones for each, you know, for OB units and pediatric units and medical units. I mean, you could have all these measures that essentially are saying the same thing, unless you feel that there's a vast difference in what the specifications would be for each one, and it doesn't seem to me like that would be the case.
No, I completely agree with you that it should be, but in some ways that's an NQF broader policy issue about how you want to approach that. Because, I mean, just taking this to another domain, one thing that's increasingly important in terms of people with severe mental illness is the management of their other chronic medical conditions. And so for people, for example, on antipsychotics, the management of diabetes and hypertension and lipids is critical, and there are different issues involved in managing it for those people than compared to people who have garden variety diabetes. And rather than creating a new measure, if there was a stratification in the existing measure, that would enable people to better be accountable for those things.
I was lost.
I think that there is a growing agreement to the sentiment of, you know, having fewer measures that address broader populations, and that if you have a specific interest or focus, you will segment it by whatever that group or focus is, and rather than having a plethora of very, very similar measures for each different thing. And we've certainly seen that in the past, where we did that with smoking measures. We've started out having a whole, you know, list of smoking measures for every condition. It was like, no. One smoking measure for everybody. If you want to look at diabetics, look at them, or whatever. So I think that's very consistent with sort of the way we want to move forward. And the fact that it's just nice that Rita's here and able to talk about the willingness of the existing measure to be flexible and encompass a broader population probably is an excellent approach given the direction we want to move in.
And were that to be the decision of the group that there would be that desire, we would also most likely make those same sorts of changes in the other measure, which is falls with injury, mm-hmm. because it would make sense that they would be parallel.
Robert?
Yeah, in relation to this last issue, there are two measures, falls and falls with injury. I mean, what's your experience been so far in the virtue of having two different measures as opposed to having simply falls with injury, which is, I think, the national patient safety goal? Reducing.
In point of fact, there are more falls, and they are still indicative of issues that need to be dealt with. Not everybody is hurt, but people still can't be falling. And so there are clearly lesser numbers involved in the falls with injury. But the hospitals, and these, of course, are not psychiatric hospitals, the hospitals prefer to be able to segment those two populations so as to be able to reflect on what it is actually happening within their settings.
Okay. Now, I think that makes perfect sense. One of the things we're going to run into if we look further at this measure is an effort that this measure developer makes to distinguish the what we all can think of as falls from what they're calling behaviorally based falls, which this developer had made an effort to exclude from this count. And, I mean, that's a very problematic distinction. I think it's a very difficult distinction to make. And it seems like falls with injury versus, as in contrast to falls in general, helps make that distinction.
Now, I have some concerns myself as having a psychiatric unit in a big medical system. And the idea of having a separate carve-out for behavioral health, I think, is problematic. I think building on what we've seen in the general medical system makes a lot more sense.
Just it's not totally related to this particular measure, but I may have to leave early, but when we talk about sort of areas for further development, one thing that if you know, the kind of interaction that we had here with regard to nursing and the falls thing, one thing that we should probably place a high priority at is looking for other outcome measures in other domains that could be stratified for people with mental illness. And I think if we did that, that would give us more, quote, outcome measures relevant to those populations.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I was just going to say, one of the things we can do is look at some of our more general outcome measures, because often the specifications of the denominator population would not exclude behavioral or mental health patients, such that we could highlight those and say, you know, we already have these measures that would apply to this population as a starting point and include them. And that's something we can certainly do to help, you know, make this whole picture more complete.
I just wanted to underscore Bob's point about the problematic nature of fall definitions that try to get at attributions. But in particular, I think it's important to look at any new measure and make sure that the definition really does more than harmonize. I think you want to have pretty much standard definitions of falls. This has become problematic in nursing home settings where falls are defined by federal regs, and you know, anybody who's found on the floor is assumed to have a fall. And I think hospitals, it's pretty much the same. But we actually do have nursing home patients who scoot on the floor by choice. It's a behavior. It's not. So there are issues like that. But I think the definitions really have to be consistent across measures.
So it seems as we can move forward and do a vote on this measure, but
I had a question. Am I hearing from this group then that a preference to look at falls with injury as opposed to falls for psychiatric and substance abuse patients?
I thought what I heard is that the group is looking at in place of potentially using accepting this as a new separate measure. That would be managed by this group, that indeed there's another, there are two existing measures that are already managed by an existing group that could be stratified for by diagnosis or by unit or by psychiatric hospital or psychiatric unit.
Or substance abuse,
and that would might be right. So that the measure developer has suggested this as a falls per thousand as a measure, and that we would vote potentially to adopt this, but have the measure be managed as a stratification by an existing group.
And we would ask for your input, obviously, as to how the units should be sculpted and the definitions, because there's a very exquisite set of definitions around this measure.
I mean, in reality, what would happen, you have two options. You could either put this measure forward, say you recommend it, or instead say that there's a request to the developer that has the current existing measure to expand it and stratify by the different substance use and behavioral health. I think those are the two options in front of you. You don't really want to put this one. Well, I think you should vote on this one, but you have the two options. Put this one forward, which would be a standalone separate measure from the current ones that ANA has.
Yeah.
Or put in a request that the ANA measures include behavioral health and substance use and stratify by that.
Okay.
I would make a motion that we do the latter, not the former.
And that was going to be our suggestion as a little group here.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Do we want to other? So we're not going to vote then on each of the aspects. We're just going to make that request. So before we vote, should we ask for any public comment on this discussion and sort of direction, including from the developer who suggested this? Anybody on the phone like to comment?
No additional comments other than what was stated. This is one of our, stronger measures that we rely on. We, do a lot with it. We've got a lot of solid data on it, and happy to receive the input and look forward to. Working with however it's included.
Okay. Carol has a comment to make.
I guess I'm kind of curious for the measure developer, given that there is an existing measure that looks at falls, is there a, had you looked at that existing measure to see whether you could just use the one that already exists and use it in your facility? Is there a reason that you felt that you needed to do something different from the existing tool, the existing measure?
Educate this committee if there is really important differences or there is value added that you see in comparing the existing measure. But I guess I'm hearing the wisdom of the committee is that we use the existing falls measure and apply it to specific subpopulations. But you may find out that there's some added value in the approach you're taking.
Thanks.
Okay. So just before we vote, I would just like to thank the measure developer because what you've done is you have actually prompted NQF to potentially add a measure to its cadre of select measures. So even though you may not be the one that maintains it, it may be an existing measure, it really will be considered something of added value to NQF. So thank you. So with that, I would like to ask the committee to for a vote on the Vote on the motion?
Well, I think we're just trying to currently review our process because I know we're really looking at best-in-class of measures. So we're seeing if we might need to go through the actual criterion.
On this measure or the one that we are preferring, which is a subset of an existing measure?
On this current measure.
So I guess I'm thinking about it through transparency for everyone externally. Okay. When it comes time for them to review this report, I would hate to have this measure look like you kind of tabled it and didn't have this robust discussion and rate it for its importance and criteria, because I think at face value it is, but there's another measure that's currently endorsed.
Right, that'll come out in the process.
That'll come out. So I think just to...
Okay, so we will go to importance first. So this is the general measure of fall rates that we're voting on now in importance. How many vote for completely? Partially?
One, two. Okay. Is there two?
Minimally? Not at all? Or abstain? Okay, so we have 14, but we have more than that in people, right?
Is Ken on the phone?
Oh, Ken, would you like to?
I'm partial.
Right.
15.
There were 16 before. Did we lose somebody?
Not. No, I think you missed me when you were counting. I saw him count with my hand up.
So you were completely or partially? Complete. Okay, so one more completely. Okay.
Depends on how far the treatment goes.
The next category is scientific acceptability.
Of this measure.
Correct.
Now, yeah, this is for this particular measure. As the developer submitted it, with its particular exclusions, as noted by Bob. So, completely. Am I missing something, Ian? Do you want to have a discussion about?
Comments from the work group about this.
Would you like to address this?
Well, you know, without going through every single item, I think that the main question has to do with the reliability of judgments about what is a behaviorally based fall. It would seem that would be that would be subject to a lot of subjectivity, and even gaming, because if you wanted to have a low rate of falls, then you could define behaviorally based in such a broad way that it would include the disobedient patient who refuses to ask for help when they get up to walk, even though they've been instructed to do so. I think that makes it kind of difficult.
So it seems to me that issue cuts across both scientific acceptability and usability in terms of, you know, unless there's sort of evidence of the reliability of that assessment that was presented in it. And was there?
I don't believe so. I think that is one of the areas that the developer felt needed to be addressed, because that is a somewhat unique aspect of this phenomenon in psychiatric settings.
Yeah, so that I think hits it at both of those places, and then probably feasibility too.
Yeah.
Are we ready to vote on scientific acceptability or any other comments on that?
The only other comment I would add is that the information provided in this section is really pretty minimal, so it made it really hard to assess.
What kind of, what do they present any risk adjustment data?
One of the things I was struck by was that disparities in care in that section is listed as not applicable, yet, you know, they do say in another section that sometimes they do conduct analysis on factors such as race, gender, age, and SES. So somewhat vague.
Well, and clearly this is an area where risk adjustment for age would be critical, maybe even for diagnosis, but, you know, demented versus not demented and so forth. But and they certainly acknowledge that there'll be a need for some sort of taking that into account, although I don't believe they actually cite those considerations in the risk adjustment section. I think it's in the exclusions section, as I recall. But in any case, I think they do acknowledge the need for risk adjustment, but don't really present any data.
Does the NDNQI measure have a risk adjustment capability?
We stratify by whole host categories. So if that would affect the risk adjustment. We stratify by a whole host of categories, units, hospitals, various patient types. So, I mean, that would be what you would want to put in as we amplify these measures to focus on psychiatric patients. I'm sorry, I don't have the expertise to know what's relevant and what isn't relevant, but I'm sure that the panel of experts that would be brought together to do that work would be able to provide that direction. I can't speak to it, but I mean, you all seem to know which categories should be appropriately included or not.
Obviously, your board of trustees, you're looking at safety in your units, and you're comparing across other units. So the characteristics, the risk stratification of the population is going to be very important to say anything meaningful about basic safety issues in units.
Well, and one of the concerns that we had too was that it wasn't clear how reliability was being measured. And they referenced the fact that there are wide variations in the estimates, and yet they rely on staff reports.
I'm sorry, they rely on staff what?
Staff reports.
Report.
Okay, any other discussion about the scientific acceptability of this particular measure before we vote? Okay, so on scientific acceptability, completely, does it meet the criteria completely? Partially?
Two.
Minimally? Not at all? Any?
Ken?
I'm between minimally and not at all.
Oh. We're not going to have yet another category. Now make your choice.
Minimally.
Thank
okay.
you.
Do we have all the votes? Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to the next category for this measure, which is usability. Would anybody from the group like to talk about the usability?
Sure. I think basically what our perspective was that there was a preference to take a look at the measure that we've been talking about with the ANA today. And we were also concerned about the notion that because of the high vulnerability, particularly for SMI patients, to morbidity and mortality from medical illnesses, that there needed to be better integration of this measure and its applicability with the medical population as well.
Any other?
Yeah,
Joel?
Here I would go on record as saying that it's not clear that this has added value beyond measures that already exist, and definitions of falls that actually already exist may be stronger and more usable in terms of applicability.
And I think the key point of our previous discussion was that the harmonization here was really the key issue, in that we favor harmonizing with the existing measure and doing the risk stratification and the population stratification rather than creating this new measure or adopting this new measure.
And in particular, in that in harmonization with using the same exclusion criteria, which this would have different exclusion criteria, evidently, than the existing measure.
I think the other thing we were concerned about is the whole issue of disparities, and that using the same kind of measure that is used on a medical unit could help us to identify if there are disparities in care that are contributory to possibly higher rates of falls with injury among psychiatric patients.
And I agree with that. I think that now we're seeing more and more the line blurring a little bit between psychiatry and medicine, and it's important that we maintain similar standards.
Here's also an area where age matters, and I think, you know, we were talking with the previous measure that defining an age cutoff for dementia care is not helpful necessarily. Here, I think if you've got the same rate of falls on a unit with young people as the rate of falls on a unit with old people, that's a concern. And I think those that argues for stratifying by age in many situations.
Okay. Are we ready to vote on usability for this measure? Those for completely? Partially?
One.
Minimally?
Seven?
Eight.
Joel?
11.
Okay. How many for not at all?
Two, three, four.
Actually, I'm changing mine to not at all.
Okay,
okay,
so
we should revote.
Yeah, I think we got it partially. Let's go back to minimally. Yeah. Who would like to vote for minimally?
I forgot that the harmonization piece is part of
this. Yes, this is the harmonization piece is very important in this one. So, minimally.
One.
Okay, we're a very flexible group.
Not at all.
Peer pressure is an important thing here.
It's everybody else.
And Ken, what would you like to vote?
I feel swayed, actually. So peer pressure has worked over here. If this is harmonized, I think that that's an issue. I think it's not at all.
Okay, thank you. So now we can go on to the, there's one more category, feasibility. So this includes how easy it is to collect this data, basically, and how accurate it might be, whether it's electronic. Did anyone from the group want to talk anything about, speak to anything about this? There wasn't, as I recall, that much about this in the description.
I mean, this is something people are counting. Certainly people in hospital settings do count falls. I think everybody's doing it, so it's it wouldn't be an imposition in terms of data collection. But I think the problem, the definitional problems we've talked about are kind of the fatal flaw here.
The exclusions. Any other discussion before we vote on feasibility? So we are voting on this particular submitted measure with its exclusions. So how many would vote for completely? Partially? Minimally? Not at all.